The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls. Ooh. Survivor know-it-alls. Ooh.
So much, the RHAP Men's Choir. Wow.
Voices what? Like
voices of angels.
Like yes.
Oh, Brett LaBelle is rolling over in his grave. Oh my God!
Wow.
What are we doing with these all these chairs?
I'm stunned. I don't know. Whoa.
I almost wiped out to start the show, and I've barely been drinking. How's everybody doing?
Thank you all so much for coming out. This is so awesome. We haven't done a West Coast Know-It-Alls for...
Since 2016.
So this is so exciting.
Yes, yes. So this is huge. We've got a great crowd here at the Brea Improv.
Oh, my God. Just a couple of donkeys here on the Brea Dolls.
Here we are. Yeah, about 400 people here with us live tonight at the Brea Improv.
Is this our biggest crowd ever?
Yes. Biggest California crowd ever for the Know It Alls. And thank you guys so much for coming out and seeing us on a night where not great weather.
No.
Not great. No. Stephen is a California resident now. Welcome, Stephen Fishback.
Very normal New York weather. This is a very normal night for New York. So,
very nice. So really wild show that we'll get to talk about. We've got a panel of Survivor guests here to talk with us. Wow. Very excited about that.
Yeah. We've got some new blood, not the same old boring New York people.
Yeah, we're mixing it up. And I can tell you that for the first time in a couple of weeks, we're going to have an exit interview this week.
Oh, my God. Wow. Is she doing it by, like, a semaphore or telegraph? Like, how is she...
So, the one wrinkle is I was told that this week's exit interview has laryngitis. I was like, uh-oh, I've heard this one before. So, it might be Thursday, might be Friday.
Okay.
But, so we will have an exit interview for the first time since Jamal.
Wow.
Yes.
That's wild.
So we have that coming up. A lot of great stuff coming up. Also, PG Law, who's here tonight, is going to be our guest on the recap.
Great guest to have.
Bryce Isaiah coming up on the feedback show. The Purple Pants Badass. Okay. But Stephen, I guess we have to start here tonight with a tribal council which really went off the rails.
Yeah. It seemed like there was going to be a huge blindside, and I guess.
So my big question after watching the episode, and I got to catch the East Coast version earlier tonight, so I've been sitting with this all night. What happened between the beach and tribal council where Dean says, "Hey, Tommy, just so you know, you're getting voted out tonight." What?
And there's a lot of, I think the general sentiment is that Dean, you know, screwed the pooch on this one. I am going to take a pro-Dean tack.
You have a general consensus already? Oh, I guess because Twitter, it's the West Coast.
No, it's like the Jeff Probst, like people I meet on the street. Someone, when I was walking up here, said like, boy, Dean really screwed the pooch on this one.
When you sat there to walk up
here. Yeah, I was walking up consensus. And someone was like, man, what's the deal with Dean?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it'd be really helpful if you were anti-Dean's move.
I'll be anti, sure.
Yeah. Well, why? What's wrong with the move?
Well, it seems like you could have voted out Tommy.
Yeah. But Tommy is Dean's best ally. So why would Dean want to vote out his best ally and then get stuck with Nora, who he doesn't trust, and Karishma and Elaine, who he doesn't really have any like deep relationships with?
Well, I think I'm very much with Kelly on this. That these do seem like a lot of dumb moves all around. It's like when it was the foursome of Elaine and Karishma and Dean and Nora, and they're like, "Hey, we're the goat army." I liked Elaine in that spot of, yeah. "Hey, let me pick up the bottom feeders. Let me pick up all these losers, and that for survivor purposes,
right?
Let me pick up all these losers, and I'll pick them, and this will be my four, and I'll go to the end." With this four, this is great for Elaine. Plus, then she found the idol, and I thought Elaine was in a great position. And for Dean, yeah, I guess Tommy is his ally, but like, it feels like he's like Tommy's like fifth best ally.
Well, after this though, I mean, this like definitely has got to move
up. It's like us. It's like you're like a top two best friend for me, but I'm like you're like top like 37th best friend.
No. I don't rank the 37.
Yeah.
Ranking is arbitrary and reductive.
So Dean, Dean, I think sure, like he likes Tommy, but he's not in Tommy's like inner circle.
But this is like the move that gets him there. And I feel like, had Lauren not won immunity, like maybe they all could have agreed that Lauren was the right person to vote out. That would have been an awesome power move. It would have totally changed the game. But when it's Tommy instead of Lauren, it just seems like I thought Dean played it perfectly. If he says something before tribal council, then there's a lot of chatter, like maybe Dean goes home. To say something at tribal council just, saves Tommy in the nick of time. Suddenly he's, Tommy's most trustworthy ally, mm-hmm. and he like gets escalated. Nora gets, de-escalated, and it seems like a great move for him.
But for Tommy, isn't he still behind Janet and Dan isn't Dean still behind Janet and Dan in the pecking order? Like, isn't he still fifth? Maybe he's ahead of Nora now, where Nora was the fifth for that group.
Right.
So now he's, now he's past Nora. So he's five now.
But I would think, if he's just saved Tommy like this, maybe he's four, And if all you've got to do is get to the final four on that.
Yeah. Elaine saved Tommy a couple episodes ago when her and Karishma voted out Missy instead of Tommy. How far did that get Elaine?
But this was like a big moment. This was like at tribal council. Like, hey, like I'm with you. They're against you.
I don't think you can bank on gratitude. Maybe Tommy has warmer feelings towards Dean, but I don't know. Just going back to that tribal council, and we've talked about this last week as well, when Karishma and Elaine voted out Missy instead of Tommy. That Missy had the plan, hey, let's vote out Tommy tonight. And they said, no, we're getting rid of Missy. To me, I didn't like that move at the time. Now, Karishma is gone.
Right.
I feel like that, not to be totally results-oriented, but I feel like that for Elaine to vote out somebody that was from her original tribe, like, I think that was a really bad move for Elaine, too. To say, when she's like, hey, Big Red, you're not going anywhere. Well, Tommy's trying to vote out Elaine.
Well, no, I mean, I think Elaine, though, in that position, like, what could she do? Once, like, tribal council was thrown into, an uproar, she mm-hmm. had no other options. I mean, I was sort of hoping she was going to play her idol for either Nora or Karishma, but, mm-hmm. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered anyway, because the other one would have gone home, so.
Yeah. How about Nora tonight? Boy, what a night for Nora.
What an episode.
Let me start off by saying, God bless Nora. When everybody is like, if we were doing the show tonight and everybody was like, hey, Steve, okay. Nora's like, I'm not whispering anything.
Yeah.
I'll say the unspoken.
This is what we needed. Like, it was a big shift in the game when JT first got up and walked across the tribal council and Game Changers.
And Nora, it took Nora to undo it.
Yeah, now we're shifting back.
And to I think unring that bell.
Yeah, exactly. It really was great, to just finally have a tribal council discussion that was at tribal council.
Yeah, and the whole thing got so crazy for Nora. Like, she was trying to spin, but nobody was buying what Nora said. But ultimately, I thought they were going to vote Nora out at the tribal council. I thought it was going to turn back on Nora.
Yeah, it seemed like, we sort of actually very early in the season were talking about who do you want to keep with you to the end. You want Nora or Karishma. And, I think for the reasons that they probably voted Karishma, I think they correctly voted out Karishma. I think she's probably, she keeps her own counsel better. She's more devious. She was better able at sort of bringing people together and manipulating others. Nora is so completely all over the place mm-hmm. that, why not keep her around?
Karishma was very quiet, and she stayed in her seat. She wasn't moving around. She wasn't whispering. The only thing she blurted out, like, hey, 10 minutes before tribal council, Nora was in on this plan, okay? Don't believe what she's saying. Yeah. So that's really all she did. Should she have been more active there in that spot, or do you think that that was the right move for her to sort of just, like, play it real quiet and chill?
Yeah, I mean, I thought she played it perfectly, but you're right. You know, the fact that it didn't work out for her suggests that she didn't. I mean, maybe if she was in every single conversation, she could have just, you know, blasted everyone with just, like, you know, verbiage and just like kept on saying Nora so much that there was never an opportunity for anyone to get a word in edgewise.
It really felt like that a couple of weeks ago that Karishma was just in this spot where she was the goat. Everybody was going to drag her to the end. And she like resisted that role so much to the point where then everybody felt like they had to get rid of her. She went from being a goat to being sort of like a unanimous target.
So you think, I mean, you were suggesting, right, that this goes back to her decision to vote out Missy over Tommy. That, like, if Missy were still in the game, like, Karishma might still be, you know.
I think she would be, I think that if you go back to that, she found the idol, but I feel like that she also, like, found her voice in the game, and I feel like that in this instance, like, that wasn't a good thing for her, because, she might not have won, but I think she'd still be there. I think that she was sort of like that people were thinking of her as a pushover, and I think that maybe she, like, came into her own too early, where she went from being somebody who was sort of thought of as a goat and dragging her around, and she started, like, at final 9 or 10 to say, oh no, that's not who I am. And then they're like, okay, oh, we got to get rid of her. And they got rid of her ultimately at 8.
Yeah, you want your, like, transformation arc to start at, like, 5. Like, don't, like, start to...
Yeah.
Don't start to become a butterfly at 8 or 9.
She came out of her cocoon too early.
Yeah.
Like, you want to wait, like, you know, ideally, like, as we've seen, like, you know, especially last season, you know, right, you know, first 10 minutes of the finale is a perfect time to start. I think that's really ideal.
I want to talk about that group of Lauren, Tommy, Dan, and Janet, because it sure seemed like they played this badly and succeeded in spite of themselves.
Yes. You mean in terms of picking the people for the family visit?
I actually don't even hate that as much. And, you know, we've sort of disagreed about this. I've always been, you know, of the mentality that you actually do sort of have to pick your allies for a reward as significant as this one.
Yeah.
But, like, the completely dismissive way that they treated the other four after they came back, I thought was just, you know, textbook terrible.
Yeah, it really, as I was watching the episode, it really felt like, oh, they made the wrong choice. And then Nora, with that great scene tonight where Nora was just, like, so worked up. Maybe more worked up than we've seen any other Survivor contestant after not going on a reward.
Yeah.
At least since Rodney, I mean, we'll ask about that.
We got Dawn, and you know, she was so mad she could spit.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a Mount Rushmore of most mad survivors about not getting to go on the reward.
Yeah.
But I really thought that they did kind of screw that up, and I thought that the screw up wasn't, I thought that when they have Dan with his 13-year-old son, like, I kind of feel like that, okay, everybody knows that person is going to get picked. But I kind of thought that Janet was the screw up, to pick her as the second person.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think that they saw the divisions within the other group. You know, you feel comfortable leaving people back at camp when you know they all hate each other. And I think that they could see those divisions as not being threatening. On the other hand, you don't want to, like, risk a solid ally like
but
Janet.
Janet wasn't going to flip. And Janet was going to be really mature. Like, oh, I got to find out about my granddaughter. And then we have Nora, and she has this emotional family visit, and her sister has impaired vision. And it was like, yeah, okay, like, they'll definitely pick Nora's sister. And they didn't pick Nora, and I feel like that's the kind of person that, you know, you're sort of like, you've been grooming her to be sort of a patsy for this alliance all the way. I think you have to, like, take care of them.
Yeah, or at the very least, not assume that they're not going to get together. I mean, when they went back and they split the votes in the way that they did, it seemed like particularly careless, where they just, you know, it historically has been the case that the people left behind on a family visit are going to band together and be really mad and try to overthrow the existing hierarchy. So for them to not have any, like, awareness that could happen seems just careless.
Okay, let's bring in some of our guests to help us talk about this, okay? All right. We've broken this up, much like the family visit, we've broken this up into some smaller groups. And so I'd love to start off by welcoming someone that you played Survivor with in Cambodia.
Oh, is it Jeremy?
Survivor's, it's not Jeremy. It's not Jeremy. She killed at the RJP roast. I'm very excited to have her back here at a live show with us. Please welcome Abby Maria.
Oh, wow.
And one of our favorite guests, the mayo jar, Nick Majorano.
Oh, wow.
Coming on up, Abby Maria. Yes, and the mayo jar. Okay.
Where's my kiss?
This on? This one? Okay, hold on. All right, hold on. Let's see if we can get this. All right, here, Nick, come on in here. Nick, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
And Abby Maria, how are you? Can we get the do we have anything?
Yeah. We're good.
I am swell.
Yes. I'm so excited that you both made it out here tonight. Abby Maria, what's new?
I don't have 20/20 vision anymore.
But it's very stylish. You look great. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did you want to sit closer?
To Steve?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Get it on.
I'm all right.
No, he's married.
Yeah, come on. Take it easy, Nick. Come on. All right. And Nick, how are you?
I'm okay.
You're okay?
I'm good.
Yeah. Is this your first live show?
It is. I'm so excited. This is amazing.
It was actually during Survivor Co Wrong that was our last live show in California.
Oh, true. Didn't you invite me to one at one point, too? And I did not show up because I was in the casting process and I was afraid to show up.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. And we saw Jennifer Lanzetti stand on her
with the little earworm thing.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
So gross.
So gross. So gross. All right, Abby. What do you make of Nora? Do you like Nora?
I love Nora. Oh my God. Yes, she's hilarious. Super entertaining.
Yeah. How would you have reacted to not getting picked to go on a loved one's visit?
Well, you've been in that situation.
You're dead to me.
But what's the move, right? Like, what do you think, like, they could have done or should have done? You've been in that situation, right? You've been not picked.
Many times.
And, like, do you think there's a way that the people who are doing the picking can handle it gracefully? Like, is there any way to not pick someone and not piss them off?
It's actually a really tough decision for them because it can be a win-win situation or it can shoot you in the foot. So it's hard to win that challenge and be the decision maker.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in both your seasons, you made it to the loved one's visit and then did not get picked, correct?
Actually, no. The second chance season, Mom and I got picked.
Oh, okay. You guys did get picked. Yeah. And then ultimately it was the group that was back at camp though in that season. Then that was when they really got on a roll. Like they were really ended up making, bonding, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Jeremy, Tasha and Spencer were left behind in the final three.
Yes. So do you feel like that, that can be a critical mistake for the people? I know you weren't picking who was going on the loved one's visit.
It's one of those. It can be a curse or a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And really, it was the opposite then in Philippines, right? Because it was, Malcolm and Denise and Lisa and Scoopin that were like, hey, let's go to the end together, right? When they all went on the family visit.
Right. I got to go back so much when it comes to Philippines. Ouch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't
you guys, I'm 40 now. I'm old.
Isn't Fishback in favor of throwing the family challenge? Especially now that there's an idol at the beach for the people who lose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so I actually wasn't there for the Cambodia family challenge. I was eliminated the previous day. So thank you for twisting the knife in that wound. But I don't know. I think it's hard to throw. I mean, in theory, I think you should throw those challenges.
Yeah.
But it's so hard in practice because you're so hungry.
True.
Yeah. Last season, we saw Ron Clark get burned bad he won the family visit and then ultimately got voted out on that episode. And it was almost similar this week.
Yeah.
And of course, these survivors didn't get to see that play out. I do wonder if we're going to, like, if it will be more of a thing moving forward that people really, like, nobody wants the family visit.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you think that people should throw that.
Oh, definitely. I mean, after watching this episode, if there's an idol on the beach, throw it. Don't be chosen. Yeah, I would not want to be chosen if I did not win.
Yeah.
But
there's no incentive.
It's hard because, I knew that, you know, like, hey, I didn't want any part of winning the family visit because I felt like it was going to be, you know, you get a lot of heat. But then you sort of, like, the thing starts, it's like, hey, I can get the chance to see my family. It's hard, I think, once to, you know, you say, like, nobody should want it. But then, like, it's like, especially, like, they like, here's your loved ones. They're right there. Okay, I'm going to throw this one.
But so this is
my strategy is you invite someone to the family visit
that you
don't care about seeing. Yes.
That's right.
That is very strategic, yeah, Steve. Yeah, yeah.
So bring Abby, Steven. Makes sense.
Oh, God.
Oh. That was easy. Come on.
Boom. No, I love. I do love you.
That's nice.
He's like, that's nice. Cool.
Abby, I would love to get your take on Karishma also, because that she was somebody that, you know, at different times people said, she should go to the end, but then also the tribe seemed like they really did not like her once, especially she played the idol last week. It seemed like that they got a real strong dislike into Karishma. Were you a Karishma fan?
Huge Karishma fan.
Yeah.
Yes. Huge Karishma fan. I think she's definitely misunderstood.
Certainly.
Certainly, yeah. But I think that every time that she had her time to shine, she delivered. And I think that if she would have made it to the end, she would kill at tribal or at final tribal. I think she's amazing. And if she's a lawyer, I think she would kill it. Yeah.
Nick, what was your take on Karishma?
Well, could she win? So I think you guys were talking about this before. Why vote her out if maybe the other people are annoyed by her and don't think she can win? Is it just because she's a wild card?
I think that, if anything, it seemed like that she was more of like a rabble-rouser of that once she started last week where, especially when she said Dan's name, that I feel like that a lot of people were just like, all right, that's enough. She's not like a fun crazy like Nora. She's causing trouble around here. Get rid of her.
Yeah. I loved Nora's remark, like, I'm like Karishma, except I'm nice, or whatever it was. Like,
yeah. To Karishma.
Yeah.
Karishma.
Yeah.
She was like, wait, they're just treating me like I'm the Karishma around here. Yeah.
All right, she should have turned her frown upside down.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? I feel like that Karishma was so passionate, though, when they talked about you guys didn't get picked. And Karishma's like, yeah, now it's time to take a wrecking ball to all of their games.
Love that. Love that moment.
Yeah, that was great. And then also I loved it when Karishma's husband came out. And
I'm not good.
Wow. And I'm like,
did she mean like I'm emotionally not good? Or like, yeah, I'm not a good person? Like, I've said terrible things about you on air?
No.
Little do you know.
Well, she did have an arc with her husband where she talked about, like, she had this scene earlier in the season where she talked about, like, hey, like, I got married and I don't even know if this is working out, this whole thing. But then, like, it seemed
like...
It was
an arranged marriage, right?
I guess so. I don't want to say for sure, like, and get dragged. I think
super detail-oriented. I think she mentioned that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then later on in the season, she said that she's like, wait, I've been like so foolish, like nobody here likes me, and I have a husband at home, and he loves me.
He loves her. Well, he better love her. Come on.
Yeah.
And she's hot. He's not.
Wow.
Did you guys have any life relationship epiphanies while you were on Survivor, and how long did they last after you got back from Survivor?
No.
Yeah.
Nick is still waiting for one.
Yeah. Steve and I were like, we know what's going on here. Yeah.
I don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay. 2020 vision.
Who has better vision, you or Steven?
I don't know. We have to compare prescriptions, I guess.
I could not read Archers correctly, so I guess Steven does.
Yeah.
If you guys know what I'm talking about.
I really don't.
He screwed me over.
You voted me out.
I know. I tried first, and then I'm like, damn it, karma is a B-I-T-C-H.
I this is so much fun. I love this. So have you guys seen each other at all since you guys played together?
Not since the finale. I actually don't think I've seen you.
I was not invited for the wedding.
But you were the 151st guest. We had to cut you at the last minute.
Yeah. Stab me harder.
Whoa. All right.
And actually, guys, I asked about the wife today, and he's like, yeah, she does not want to meet you. And I'm like,
that's not what I said. That's not how
that's
I
wrote. Not what he said.
That is a mischaracterization.
In my fantasy mind, sure.
This is the problem, you know? This is what I wrote for the
marriage. I know.
It was a miscommunication.
But she's not a huge Survivor fan.
Yeah.
I am a huge Survivor fan.
No, Steven. All right, let's go.
Oh, the wife. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Abby's a huge Survivor fan.
Huge, just like Donald Trump.
Nick, Abby, how are you?
Yeah,
Nick.
Yes, Rob.
Tell me about Elaine. Is Elaine? I feel like
she's
that,
a lesbian.
Yes. Yes, I really feel like that Elaine and her girlfriend. I don't think they're married. I feel like gotta get them on the Amazing Race, right?
Oh, I agree. Is her girlfriend like Southern like Elaine?
I don't. She did wear that overalls. I don't know. I don't know if she had been farming,
adopted,
or maybe it was just like a fashion.
Yeah. Her outfit was Southern inflected, yes. Yeah.
I was just excited that they made out on national television. Go!
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a big, it was a big night for Elaine, and then she finds the idol, and yeah, Nick, I really thought that she was in a position where, like, okay, this is where now Elaine is going to run the table.
Yeah, she could have dictated where she wanted the vote to go.
Yeah.
And I don't think Krishma was her best bet. I don't know who she wants to go to the end with. Do you guys have assumptions or ideas of who she could beat?
I don't think it matters for Elaine.
Oh, she could beat anybody, you think?
I think she can go to the end and really beat anybody. Okay, I mean, unless it's like the Missy and Elizabeth are like bitter jurors and, go back to the like, hey, kill Elaine slowly and meticulously. Was that it?
That is exactly what she said. Meticulously and slowly.
Yes.
But then she should have stuck with the goats, quote unquote.
Yeah, why doesn't anybody want to stick with the goats?
Right.
Why does everybody want to vote out the goats here?
Why was it Lauren or Tommy? Like, why not vote out Dan there? You know, like, why? I feel like if they had made a move for Dan, it might have gone through, right? Dean didn't want to vote out his ally, Tommy.
Steven is a very touchy subject.
Yeah.
Very
no
touchy.
No pun intended, huh, Abby? Yeah.
No pun intended, as my boss, Jeff Probst, would say. Yeah.
I do think that they look at Dan as an easy person to beat in,
right.
And not even from the the controversy aside, that I think that they look at him as somebody who is a well-to-do person,
right? Hollywood,
and I just don't think that person is going to win against any of these other people that he's potentially going to be up against,
like a Mike White.
I think similar to a Mike White, where that I think that people felt like that Mike White played a good enough game, but like, am I really going to give Mike the money over Nick? And he seemed like there were stories that he was conflicted about how badly does he ultimately want it. And I don't think that that's the same issue with Dan, but I do think that when it comes down to if you're like not knowing anything about like what's happened over the 39 days, like, are you going to give the money to Dan or are you going to give the money to Elaine?
Yeah, Elaine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
And it is funny because the season started off with Elaine of that Ronnie's like, hey, we got to vote out Elaine. If we don't vote out Elaine, she's going to win.
Yeah. And it could happen.
Yeah. It was the prophecy of Ronnie Barta.
Nick, do you think it was too cute for that group of four to try to split the votes? Or do you think, like, just given all the idols out there, they sort of have to split the votes?
Yeah, it's too cute because you can't, like Dean said, you can't account for everything. You can't account for every question mark. So just you have to go all in at some point. Yeah, they should have just stuck to their guns. But of course, Dean screwed it up at the tribal council.
Well, what do you think that Dean's play was there?
Nobody knows, right? Nobody knows. He's Free Willy out there, so...
I was surprised that Lauren referred to Dean, which took like, well, this person, you got Nora, she's out there, and then you have Dean, he's a numbers guy.
Yeah. Well, he follows the numbers, magician. Maybe. Well, he's a numbers guy compared to Nora.
I guess that was
hilarious.
Yeah. I did love it when Dean and Nora were having the conversation, and he's like, frankly, I'm the most worried about you.
Yeah.
that was followed by,
like, one of the great scenes of the season where she's got the rocks on the leaves.
That's what I'm talking about.
Is that what you ever did? Would you ever do rocks on leaves to...
I don't even think I could count on my fingers. I was that delusional.
But it's true that by, like, day 31, you're like, those four and then these three. Like, it's hard to keep everyone straight.
So hard. You guys have no idea.
Abby, who do you think is going to win?
Janet, possibly?
Janet?
Yeah. She's our sweetheart right now. I am totally rooting for her at this point. Oh my gosh, I love Laura. Laura's killing it, too. She's been doing such a good time.
Ooh.
Lauren.
Yeah. My accent. I'm sorry. Yes. I always have that excuse.
Yes. Lauren had one of the most out-of-nowhere immunity wins of all time, where it was like, all right, she's about to drop, and then Elaine just, like completely fumbled, and even Lauren couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, no, I'm totally Lauren or Janet at this point, for sure. I was Team Karishma. I'm totally heartbroken, but yeah, Lauren or Janet. I know someone out here wants to marry her. I hope to be invited to the wedding.
Do you not get invited to a lot of weddings?
Wonder why.
I guess I'm a troublemaker.
Nick, what did you think of that Janet, this is a Survivor first, a baby gender reveal at a loved one's visit that Janet's husband wore the pink shirt to signify that the granddaughter, I guess that makes sense, they were having a girl.
Yeah, he didn't need the shirt, did he? They're going to say hello. They're going to talk.
Just in case they were like, that Janet, this year, like, you can't talk to your loved one. She'd be like, got that message. Message received. It's a girl.
Do you think they're missing out, though, on, like, Jeremy Collins' upside? You know, her final tribal speech. Ooh. I'm having a granddaughter.
Yeah. That was like, holy shit, his wedding.
Yeah.
Come on. How could you not give that man a freaking $1 million? He was about to pop a baby out.
Right? And Janet's child is also about to pop a baby out, so...
Do you think that Janet's husband should have worn a shirt over the pink shirt?
Had some suspense, and then
Jeff, like, okay... You got to tell me, what's going on with the shirt?
Why did you have a blue shirt over the pink shirt, so there was a real reveal, you know?
Wow, we're really taking you deep to a number of levels. Okay, all right. Nick and Abby, anything else you guys want to say up here?
I don't think Abby knew, but Karishma and her husband met on 90 Day Fiancé, and that's how they got on the show.
Mind blown.
No, it's not true.
It's not true. Do you watch that show?
Oh, I do. It's great.
There you go. We'll talk later on tonight.
All right, we'll talk later on tonight about that.
Okay. All right. Well, Abby, anything else you want to say?
I want to thank the fans for being here. Okay. We are nothing without you guys. I love you so much. Thank you so much.
Okay. And stand by because when we do questions, if people have questions, I want you to come back up. If people have questions for Abby or Nick, okay?
XOXO.
Got it.
Excellent. Thank you, Abby and Maria. You're great. And Nick, we'll see you later, buddy. Okay. Okay. And somebody please invite Abby to their wedding. Okay. Okay. All right. So let's bring up now. All right, let's mix it up a little bit, and let's bring up our friends that are here. Max Dawson, Tyler Fredrickson, and PG Law are here.
Oh, wow.
A full panel. Oh, PG's in the bathroom. Okay,
all right,
we didn't need to announce that. Sorry about that. Okay. All right, so when PG comes back, we'll say hi to her. But guess what? PG's going to be on the podcast tomorrow. Max
Hello.
Dawson.
Get over here.
How are you?
Can I give the microphone back to Abby? I'm not done hearing Abby.
Abby was killing.
Is Brett LaBelle here?
No.
Thank God.
He's not here. He's not
Thank
here.
Thank you.
He's not here to bully you.
Golly.
Yeah. Okay.
What do we? What?
All right. Now, first off, Tyler, that I know you had a bad accident recently. That Tyler had a very bad, and it's not a joke, not a bit.
Serious.
No, Tyler had a very bad burn on his hand.
He's more pig than man now. That's my Obi-Wan. This is terrible.
Yeah. How are you doing? You're okay?
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm great. I tripped. My mom was on a ranch. I tripped into the fire pit. Had a good little 2 second spent. The survivor analogies end there, by the way, as far as tripping into fire pits go. But I'm healing and I'm doing great. So happy to be here. Thank you. By the way, this is awesome. The last time I went was when we first met 3 years ago. This is fantastic. You guys, like watching with you, laughing, cheering. This is wonderful. Thanks, Rob, for inviting us.
Hey, Max, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. This is weird. You're not Corinne.
No.
You're not Corinne. You're not Corinne. I don't know how to do this without the soundboard and
actually,
Corinne.
Yeah. Oh. Then how was the Joe and Sierra wedding? I think Abby wasn't invited.
Yes.
Sorry. Sorry.
It was amazing. And not just because Abby wasn't there. It was a beautiful event. Beautiful people. Yeah.
And here comes PG. What happened? Okay, well, you can bring the other chair. You're good. Yeah. Yes.
It was gorgeous. I mean, Joe and Sierra, such lovely people. The whole Dirty 30 family was there. Your friend Andrew Savage was there. Terry Dietz was there. Monica Padilla was there. Aubrey was there. It was a great, great family reunion.
And PG, how are you?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. Hi, guys. Thanks for coming.
Okay. We had an exciting episode. Tyler, what did you think of that tribal council tonight?
It's funny, I actually texted Nora, not to name drop a little bit, but...
no spoilers.
No spoilers at all. And I just said, I texted her, I said, hey, you were amazing tonight. I'm here with 400 people. Enjoy the ride. And she said, by amazing, do you mean nuts?
No.
So she is very much on top of her game. It was fun to watch.
Now, did you notice that when Karishma voted for Nora, there was some text on the bottom of her parchment when she voted for, she had a very shady vote against Nora. She said, Nora doesn't know best? Nora never knows best. Which Nora's Twitter handle is Nora Knows Best. Nora Knows Best One. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry. Max, do you think that was
she did forget her password.
Do you think that Nora was doing a lot of shout-outs for her Twitter?
Yeah, that's very strange. I can't see Karishma having followed Nora before the season, but weirder things have happened, right? I don't know, maybe Redmond had spoiled her or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's possible in like the post-Cochrane world, right, that we all live in, that like people are just constantly trying to like, you know, promote their Twitter handles and like hoping it makes it into a confessional.
And looking for hashtags and popcorn memes and stuff like that at Tribal Council.
Where do you think she got that from, PG? Prescott.
I have no idea. The hot dog meme.
I feel like she must have been promoting it while she was out there, because we've all played with people who would name drop like their books that they've been writing or like their Twitter handles. So do you think it was like maybe she had just been mentioning it too much?
It's possible. And you know, the Cochrane thing was at a finale. Like they can't edit that out,
but he also said it like, you know, he had a confessional. We didn't actually like give his handle, but he said like all these cool bros are hanging out when I'm on, you know, back home on Twitter. And like he like got like 30,000 followers in like an hour. So it was pretty good. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I guess so. You want to give your Twitter out?
Yeah, it's John M. Cochran.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Max, were you excited to have a Festivus mention in the episode? And is that the first Seinfeld reference on Survivor?
God, well, first of all, you and Akiva, congratulations. I feel like the merger is complete.
Yes.
The Venn diagram has completely merged.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that your fact checker probably could confirm for us, if he is in fact in the audience, whether or not there has been a Seinfeld reference before.
Yeah, that I can't think of a blatant one. And I'm sure I'll get I'll wake up tomorrow with a couple of dozen tweets telling me what it is. But no, I can't think of it. So yeah, we had a whole airing of the grievances.
Yes.
From
who is the survivor, George Costanza?
Boy, we'll let the people come up and tell us who. No, I don't know. I don't think so.
No, he's the Kramer, I think.
All right. You guys come up and ask questions later on. Steven, can you extrapolate on anything else from the episode?
Oh my God, no! This is we've really extrapolated on quite a bit. I'm trying to think. It was we had the loved ones visit. That was, you know, Jeff was. I feel like he's learned a little bit. You know, like it's in the past, loved ones, it's always like, what is it? What is it to love a human being?
Yes.
And this time he seemed to know, you know? He was like, oh, look, Karishma, like you're hugging your husband like people do when they're married. You know, it seemed like he like got it. You were there for the loved one visit, for you, right? Like,
no, actually.
Okay. Oh. Max, you were there for your loved ones.
You guys, for a little bit, that they did it at like weird
ours
times.
Was at five.
Yeah, they did it at four and at five, and I think in Korong, I don't think they even did it. It seemed like that they were like tinkering with it, like, should we even have a loved ones visit? And then they decided, I guess, after Cambodia, they said, no, we know exactly when it goes, and it's going to be at this spot forever. Yeah. We'll do it, and we're doing it exactly the same way. And that's how it was. PG, did you have a favorite loved ones visit from tonight?
From tonight? Elaine. Like she was probably the one that I kind of teared up a little bit the most. Like, just, I like the story about how she was unsure if, you know, she would be accepted and, you know, all of that. So that was probably my favorite.
Max, did you were you touched by any of the loved ones?
I liked seeing that Nora had a sister who seemed to be very Nora.
There's two of them.
There's two. Yes, there is another Tyler. Yeah. And that Nora's younger sister is the older sister in that relationship. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like that it was we had the whole Nora family visit, and then it was then at the very end it was like that they said, oh, by the way, you know Nora's sister's vision is impaired, and she's gonna move over here. I was like, wait, this didn't come up yet.
Yeah, it was a cool moment though, right? Jeff just very naturally sort of did it.
Yeah.
I liked after the loss, I thought Karishma played it really well after they lost, when, you know, Karishma had this speech about, oh, it's just terrible when someone recognizes they're on the bottom, and I feel so badly for the people here who have, like, recognized that. Overall, I thought Karishma had, like, a really great episode. Other than getting voted out at the end, I thought Karishma had a really great episode.
Yeah. I kind of thought it was a little bit of a quiet exit from the game for Karishma, that she was such a big character. She didn't she had the Festivus line and like a line here or there, but I feel like that she didn't have a ton to do here in her swan song.
I don't know. It seemed to me like she was about, like, this was about to be her big moment, right? This was like the big move she had waited for, where if she could get these four people together, like, she would actually for once be in the dominant position. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like it was just like, you know, ripped from her hands at the last second.
Did Karishma have a shot here, Tyler? Could she have done anything?
No. Not in a million years. But I did love her energy at the end when she's like, I'm going to hit him in the face with a wrecking ball. I mean, it was like, yeah, good for you, girl. Like, way to come at it. Like, she had a little bit of fire in the end.
Do you think if there's like a Dean, Karishma, Nora final three, like Karishma gets a few, like, you know, a few votes from, you know, like, yeah, like Missy votes for her. It's like the
maybe
sort of
over
like,
Nora. I don't know.
Yeah,
I just don't understand why there wasn't more mutual interest there for the three of them. Where, like, I don't know why Dean is like, no, I'm not going with you guys. I'm going to go and get zero votes against Tommy and Lauren. I'm not going with Karishma and Nora.
But Dean's go ahead.
I was going to say, it seems like Karishma is this uncomfortable reality check for them, that she keeps reminding them of the thing they don't want to hear, which is that they are, in fact, on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And in that respect, she is sort of a good gamer in that she is saying this important message. It's that she's delivering it in a way that no one really likes hearing.
Yeah. Oh.
Hence, she doesn't really have that kind of affection built up from, you know, the people who are hearing this. Instead, they're like, get her away from me. I don't want to be reminded of this.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's like a memento, no votes.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem like they feel particularly warmly toward her for being that kind of constant presence chattering in their ear. You're one of the bottom.
Yeah. PG, are you buying this, that for if you're a Karishma and you're on the bottom and then you're telling other people that they're also on the bottom, then that makes them dislike you?
I don't think it makes them dislike you, but I think that he sees that so many people kind of don't like her. Like, there is a kind of a contagion around someone who is disliked, and you just don't want to be part of it. You know, like, and I've seen, you know, we see this over and over when you're watching it, and it's different than when you're out there and you're like, why do you want to be part of the cool kids? They don't want you. Like, why does everybody want to be a part of the popular clique? And we see it every day in high school or at work, and yet they do, and they will throw away the other people who are actually trying to be their friends to try to get in with the cool kids. Like, it's bizarre, but I think we're seeing it happen right out there.
Yeah.
Tyler, do you think that your friend Nora can bounce back after this, or do you think that she's now the new Karishma?
Would you text her and ask, can she bounce back?
Let me just call her. Let me FaceTime.
Where do you feel like that her game's been blown up, and now she's like dead person walking?
It feels a little dead man walking. It feels like now Nora maybe has joined the Goats tribe and may ride that out to the end. But you know, we've always talked about, and you guys have talked about, like getting to the end is part of the challenge, and at least you've given yourself a shot. If she can get to the final three, she did a lot better than me. She did a lot better than Max. That's for dang sure. Get there.
I always say to Tyler, better to be remembered for having been on the show than to have done very well on the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
If anyone wants a picture with me later, please ask Tyler. He's an amazing photographer.
Thank you for showing.
Also, he doesn't really show up in flash photography with the...
Are you going to stop?
I'm also...
Thank you for showing your testicles to me on the island. I appreciate it. I saw them over and over and over. But you've been remembered for it.
And this morning.
We live together.
Guys, no, Tyler and I live together now.
And not in that way.
I'm not joking.
In the same room.
The same room.
Well, PG.
Okay.
If it gets cold.
We've all been a part of some crazy tribal councils.
And podcasts.
What's the move when you're at a tribal council and it's like exploding around you? Do you like do the Karishma and sit tight, or do you try to be a part of as many conversations as you possibly can?
Or do you do the Elaine where people are talking and just like pop in?
Yeah.
And that will be a gift. That will live on beyond that tribal council.
But that's kind of to Tyler's credit, when Rodney and Dan and Mike and Mama C are all popping off, Tyler always did an amazing job of kind of staying beyond the fray and somehow managing to kind of steer the conversation without getting in the scrum.
Yeah, it's the Mr. Rogers. I've been watching a lot of Tom Hanks doing his like roundabout right now. And his whole thing is like when Mr. Rogers would be asked a question, he would deflect it by saying, well, you've probably also gone through that same thing as well.
Yeah.
And for me, I wanted to be consistent and a shoulder for people to cry on. It got me to seventh place. Who cares about 30? It doesn't matter. But I would not be probably the guy standing up running around in the midst of all of it. That's probably not my best choice.
Do we like that? Do we like the running around? It makes for exciting TV, but like, do you like it as someone who's actually?
I'll just say I was in the back
tribal councils,
and I was coming out, and I knew I was coming back in for tribal, and I heard it. And I'm like, oh, they're doing the runaround again.
Yeah. We've had a few know-it-alls where that happens. It gets a big pop in the room. People get excited. You guys like it when it first happens, right? It's exciting.
That was ambivalence. That was not excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah. But people.
By first, you mean JT or do you mean now?
No, I pay attention. Like people pay attention, and there's like some cheering when it first happens. But I think that it was ideal tonight where it was happening a little bit, and then Nora was like, all right, fine, I'll just start talking. So it was kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Like, I did, when she said that, I was like, oh my God, thank God.
Thank you, Nora.
Yeah.
Hey, we appreciate you, Nora.
They're subtitling more, I feel like. They're doing a better job of subtitling what the contestants are saying. I want, like, everything, even if they can't make out for sure what the contestants are saying, I want them to do their best job of subtitling.
I think Nora also can't whisper, also. I think that's the thing.
But don't you guys kind of miss when they would be like, we're going straight from the challenge into tribal, there will be no strategizing, nobody's allowed to talk, like... you know, and you just have to go off of prior knowledge. Like, I almost prefer that to these live tribals. It's like, no, you don't get extra time to strategize. You should have been laying this out in the days beforehand, you know?
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it just seems like that, like, what you were saying about that you like the move for Dean's perspective. It's like, wait as late as possible to say what you really want to do, and that's the move.
Yeah, because, like, all the spinning happens, and everyone does their thing, and then, like, you say something, and that blows up in your face. But if you wait until, you know, seconds before the votes are read, and are like, hey, like, this is what's going on. Like, you control what happens, and you get to put yourself in a really favorable position, both in front of the people who you're with and in front of the jury.
Tyler, I just want to go back to that. I said that Nora had one of the worst reactions to not getting brought on a reward.
It was not her birthday.
Okay, it was not her birthday. That how did Nora's reaction compare to Rodney not getting to go on the reward on his birthday?
Yeah, I can't share exactly what Rodney said during this time because this is a family show. But I will say I actually am loving sort of the carryover editing techniques that the producers are using this time, of like kind of like fading in and out and doing that kind of stuff where she's talking. It's fun. You know, it's telling the story better. Also, do we even bring up the fact at the end with Jeff? You know, normally he's got some like big thing that he says, and this time he's like, got nothing for you, head back. Like,
yeah.
Like he's just like, I don't even know what to say about this season. Is season 40 yet?
Yeah.
Rob and Sandra, can you come back in like 3 weeks?
Like he's gotten a Peloton bike for Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, honey.
Yeah.
Get in shape.
Yeah. Even Rob was like, all that talking just to vote out Karishma. That's great. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about? I know we have a lot more to talk about tomorrow with PG.
I mean, the PG curse continues.
Oh, boy.
Does Karishma count as an Asian?
That is not my place to say. That is not my call.
I chose to do the podcast very late in the season this time.
It's not my call.
We'll talk about that tomorrow. You guys should do
Can you text Karishma? Yeah. Okay. Tyler, anything else that you want to add tonight?
Nora just texted me.
Okay.
It's about judgment. Yeah, I'm going to let that one.
Judgment.
Oh, no. Loving people and caring for those. I would stand by that as well.
Yes. Okay. All right. Tyler, this was so nice to see you. Max, great to see you also. PG, we'll hear from you more tomorrow. Okay. Thank you guys so much. And hang out nearby if people have questions for you. Okay.
All right. Thanks for having us.
All right. All right, I'm very excited to bring up our final pairing of the night. Please welcome Bradley is here, and so is our friend Hannah Shapiro. Yes. Okay. Very excited. Bradley, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. I don't know how we're going to pass up Abby, but we're going to try.
We'll never pass up Abby.
What did you guys think of Dean's play? Do you think Dean did
Let's say hi to Hannah.
Oh, okay. Hi, Hannah. Hi, Hannah.
I know you've been driving around all day with her.
We just spent 90 minutes in a car.
Yeah,
I said
Steven
hello.
Steven and I carpooled up here, and we went on Instagram Live, and only 10 people came to Instagram Live.
Was it yours or Steven's?
It was
mine, and then we got a girl on our Instagram Live who said, no, don't hang up on me. And so I felt social pressure to stay on the line with 7 people watching for like 20 minutes on the drive up.
Yeah, it was my first last Instagram Live. I was against it from the beginning, and I enjoyed no part of it.
Yeah, he hated it. What? Oh,
okay.
What? Oh, no one has mailed me a bra yet. Thank you so much for the support for Win, Lose, and Bra.
This is 2019. It's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yes, okay. That's a different podcast. That's a different podcast. Okay. All right, Bradley, what did you make of the festivities tonight?
Well, I love Nora.
Yes,
she is loony as a goat on crack.
A goat on crack.
Yeah, right. I mean, goats are crazy to begin with, and then you give them crack, and they're Nora. It's good. Try harder not to laugh, Hannah.
Yeah.
thought you meant the actual animal for like 5 minutes.
I think that is what he meant.
I did.
I think he is. Okay. Yeah. No, he is talking about abusing animals. Yeah.
Yeah. And they said you were a villain. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what they were talking about.
Hannah, do you have any thoughts about the loved ones visit?
I started to cry.
Yes, tonight.
We were in the back and she was crying like a baby.
It's like,
I was like, Hannah, pull it together. You made it to the loved ones visit. Some of us didn't.
It's like the thing I love the most about Survivor is the loved ones visit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's fun. It's like no matter what, how they're acting out there, somebody loves everybody.
Yeah. That's a good lesson.
And yeah, I mean, I was weeping when Elaine and that really cute girlfriend, and then Janet and her husband, and then poor Karishma, who has felt ostracized the whole time, and her husband. Her husband has more airtime than some of the players this season.
I think
like their storyline. Than you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you haven't been on at all this season.
No.
We've been missing you, though, Bradley.
Yeah.
No. I thought it was really nice how she said, I'm so misunderstood out here. I felt like that was a really really nice way to articulate it.
Yeah, I'm glad she wasn't just like, I mean, you have to feel bad. I mean, I feel like living out there is hard enough, and for her to feel like she has no friends and everyone is I mean, Nora tonight, it was hilarious. I love Nora. But to be like, I'm like Karishma, but people like me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, but also what a brutal thing to say to another person.
In front of them, yeah.
In front of them.
Yeah.
Or behind them, anyway.
Either way, it's on TV. They'll see it. Bradley, did we stumble into a pagonging here? It seemed like that, you know, it looked like, oh, the tribes are really split up. But then they had that one episode where they went to, you know, 5 people over here, 6 people over there. And then all the people that are getting voted out, it's all the people from the old Lyro tribe. It was all in a row. Aaron, Missy, Elizabeth, now Karishma. Elaine and Dean are the only 2 people that were left from the original Lyro tribe.
Yeah, I think we might be seeing what happens when you don't swap 100 times before the merge,
mm-hmm.
right? You form these bonds and then you don't break them, and they continue to run.
So, are you advocating for more swaps?
Personally, no, but maybe it's a tough thing to overcome, right? You leave people in adverse situations long enough, and they're bound to build bonds that are going to last throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's tough to see. I liked Karishma. And I also loved the arc with Karishma's husband. I would be fascinated to know if he loved the arc.
Oh. I couldn't tell if it was positive or negative. I couldn't tell if she was like, I don't know about the marriage, but he loves me, so I'll stick it out.
I mean, they went from roommates to she loves him, so it's positive.
I'm rooting for them. We're all rooting for Karishma and her husband.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It went a lot better than I had heard that her loved one's visit was going to be Applebee's. Yeah. Thank you to Sam, who told me that joke earlier tonight.
Yeah, Sam.
Yeah, they probably went out for shark bowls tonight.
You know, as an inside thing, I was talking to Steven about this earlier, with Karishma and her husband's arc. It's like the worst nightmare of someone on Survivor that something you say personally is going to make it on the show. Because you get out there and you're hungry and you're tired and you say all this stuff that you wish in normal life that you would never tell anyone, but you tell these people, which is
that's
stupid.
So true, because I in an episode that didn't make air, I was like, I have a huge crush on this guy on my sketch team. And then for months after, I was like, it's going to be on national television. Right. But of course it was never going to be on.
Right, we all get lucky, not important except for Karishma talking about her husband. Yeah. It's no bueno.
Because you assume they're just interested in strategy. You know, the boom mic's lower when you're talking about strategy. It just seems like all they care about is the strategy. And then, but no, that's where they get you, because they also care about your personal life.
Yeah. They suck you in and then kick you out.
Is that like where a coach comes from, Steven, where it's like then if somebody like sort of like realizes like, hey, this is going to be on TV, I'm going to tell a bunch of stories and just get this word out there, and then everybody's going to think they're true because I'm saying these things on TV.
Yeah, it was. That's what they were true, as far as I know. I mean, he did like get kidnapped by a tribe in the Amazon. I mean, listen, I met his assistant coach, and that was really his assistant coach. So the rest, if that's true, why not the rest of it?
He didn't do the trick of bring somebody out there and the loved ones visit that you don't really care about?
No, you know, he cared about him, yeah.
Bradley, do you have somebody that you think is on the right track to win this thing?
I think...
Who's in the best spot?
I think Tommy's in the best spot, honestly. So I think Tommy's in a position where he seemed like he's in trouble and then he narrowly escapes, but he also seems like he's been out of the controversy, which is exactly where you want to be if you're an actual winner of Survivor. Mm-hmm. I think it is to skirt the edge while seeming like you know what's going on, but not getting caught in the fire. Mm-hmm. So that's a great spot to be. As a fan of the show, I wish Nora would win. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who doesn't? She's Looney Tunes, and it's amazing.
This was a great episode for Tommy, right? Like, strategically. The fact that Karishma is gone, who he didn't have anything really, any real connection with, mm-hmm. you know, so he's still got his, like, old Vokai group together. Like, they're all there. He's kind of at the center of it, but somehow Lauren is, like, the bigger target
Plus
of
Dean.
The two of them. And then he's got Dean on the side. Yeah. He's got his side Dean. And, yeah. like, that.
And,
yeah.
and even Elaine, a week ago, was like, hey, Big Red, I'm not going to vote you out.
Right. So I feel like Tommy is in, like, the best, like, I think he's in the best position of anyone, you know, and that's true, the fact that he's not the, you know, he's this, like, you know, it's like 7-foot redheaded dude, and he's not the biggest target, yeah. right? Like, how is mm-hmm. that possible?
Because I think I always, like, make fun with my friends when I'm watching it, because whenever he speaks, he gets the hero music, and we've heard about how he's a hero to his fourth graders so many times, but I think his social game is pretty impressive, because at every turn, Lauren, Elaine, Dean, yeah. his friends are protecting him, and, you know, like you said, he's super tall. A lot of guys who win Survivor are a lot shorter, or they have people protecting them.
Not talking about Adam.
No, I also think Tommy seems on the right path to be the winner. I think there are very rootable people, but I think he's playing a really good social game.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying that he is...
Well, I'm going to say it anyway.
Say it anyway. Say it anyway. Please.
On a podcast.
Testify.
Do you think that Tommy beats Elaine if they're in the final three, or even Lauren? If it's Elaine, Lauren, and Tommy, does Tommy end up winning?
So...
Because they seem like the only three that has a chance.
And you know that you have the knowingest know-it-all on the line here, right? Because if a Vokai wins, I retain the crown, and you're stuck with a few loser Lyros over there.
All right.
So probably a Vokai is going to win.
High stakes. Right. But I do think that if Tommy and Elaine both in the final three, I kind of feel like that Lauren ends up in the probably zero-vote finalist person.
Zero. Okay.
Am I crazy?
Lauren? It's
Lauren, Tommy, and Elaine.
Oh, no. Everyone, I think Tommy has to eliminate Lauren before.
Yeah, I guess that I think she
can. Think Lauren beats Tommy?
That's what everyone seems to be saying.
And Elaine is there also?
Well, if Elaine is there, I think Elaine probably wins. But I mean, it seems it would be Lauren,
you know,
or Elaine.
Maybe Lauren's not zero votes, but I think that it might be the scenario where Tommy and Lauren, like, split votes from the Vokai people, and then the people that are angry at Elaine. I think that would be interesting. Like, and I don't know how many jury votes we're having here, but I think it could be like one of the crazier votes where it could be like a 4-4-5, or something nutty.
Lauren seems to me like Tommy's final dragon. You know, like, she's like the last boss that he has to beat, because like
she's awesome, by the way.
She is.
That's all that I had to say.
One other thing on Tommy, I really didn't care for, like, he, like, set up, like, he's gonna, like, all right, Jeff, you know what? It's teaching time with Tommy, and I'm like, okay, all right, he's gonna drop something on us right now. And then he didn't say anything.
It was like a limerick or something.
He's like, it's teaching time with Tommy, so...
You Which never voted with Tommy.
Yeah. Wait, what? Like, I thought there was a lesson. Okay. All right. I want to start to bring in some questions from the listeners. Okay. So if you have questions for the panel or for anybody... Yeah. People have questions. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that'd be fun.
Also, guys, it was so fun to watch it with all you. I found myself... It was just, it's so much more fun in a crowd of 400 people. I was booing. I was cheering.
Who are you booing?
Way to pander for votes.
Listen, I'm sure he's a lovely person. I was booing Dean tonight. I was like, boo! I was like, what are you doing?
Okay, all right. Okay. Oh, it's Molly. Okay.
Hello.
Right, here, come.
Hi,
come
Molly.
On. Yeah, here, Bradley. Can you share your microphone with? Yes.
Hi there.
Hi, Molly.
I wanted to know what your opinion is on the fact that editors never lie, and we've had the whole
on the show or like in real life.
In real life.
Yeah.
The whole the Women's Alliance and the Rob Sandra bet a woman's going to win this show. How are you feeling about that now?
Okay, Hannah, that's something that we've talked about on on the Know-It-Alls this season is that, look, Tommy's looking great, as Bradley pointed out, but Rob and Sandra made a bet on the Island of the Idols that Sandra said, I bet you a woman's going to win the season. And Rob's like, yeah, I was born at night, but not last night. I'm not a baby.
Can we pause for a second, Rob?
Yes.
And just remark on how much food Rob and Sandra must still be getting. Yeah. It's
why do you
true
say that, Bradley?
Insanity. They are fatter than a bunch of 45-year-old Midwesterners.
Come on. Stop it, Bradley. Stop it. Stop it. You are a villain. Stop it. Go back to giving narcotics to goats. Let's talk about that again. Okay. Okay. All right. Stop with that. Okay. Hannah, so what side are you on? Do you think it could be Tommy or a woman will win the season?
Listen, the premiere of this season, I wore my girl's shirt. And someone asked me who I was rooting for, and I was like, all the women. And I'm still rooting for all the women. I of course I'm rooting for all the women. I just, every time Tommy mentions he's a fourth grade teacher and the violins start, I feel like, why did we have to hear how many times he's a fourth grade teacher if he's not the fourth grade teacher that's going to hold $1 million check? My money's just on Tommy.
Well, today we learned he's not even playing for the money. He's playing to inspire people.
He's playing to inspire. There's a fourth grader.
That's a trust fund if I've ever
heard
one.
Do you have a thought on this, Molly? Hold on, we can get the microphone.
I still hope that a woman's going to win because, again,
of course,
I mean, I do believe that. I mean, they always show a Women Alliance every season, so that never pays off. But the fact that they showed the bet, and it was the title of the episode, the I Was Not Born at Night, or not last night. So I still got to believe that's going to pay off. So,
yeah. I think Elaine is the
She's
one
amazing,
who could do it.
Yeah.
I still hold out hope.
I wouldn't rule out any of them.
No, that would be a great coup.
Yeah.
So that was my question.
All right. Thank you, Molly. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yes. Who's this? Yeah, sit down. Sit down.
Here we go.
Here comes. Sit next to Bradley.
No, my name's John.
Hey, John.
I'm not sure friendly in real life.
I bet you are. So, yeah, my question kind of was revolved around Rob in that scene where he's like, well, all that to vote out Karishma. So do you think that they get debriefed by the producers on what's going on outside, or they get all the information from Tribal itself?
No, I think they get all the information from Tribal. I mean, they sat there and watched this. Oh, okay, what's this? And like, what? All this to vote out Karishma? Like, I think they saw that all with their own eyes. I don't think that they, like, debrief Rob and Sandra.
I think that's what's so fun about them in that booth, is, like, they're reacting to it just like we're reacting to it. You know, they're getting the information and, you know, like, sassing the contestants, and, like, just, it's all fresh for them.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think they just feed them. They don't debrief them.
Yes, okay. Yeah. John, anything else on that?
No, well, it just seems that they're panning all of their charisma feeling on just Tribals alone. Like, I don't know. I don't know how much time is spent on Tribal.
She's
too.
Been shit on a lot at Tribal.
Yeah.
To be fair, I mean, she's been told I'm saving you for the end.
I mean, Rob said it was a week or two that Missy, when she got voted out, she was like, I was going to take you to the end. And Rob's like, everybody's trying to take Karishma to the end. So then they knew that she was like somebody who was on the bottom. So, like, yeah, to have all of those fireworks go off.
You don't think Jeff Probst visits them in their heads and chats with them? Somebody built those heads, and we have not seen them in like 3 episodes.
Yeah. Also, tribal councils are a lot longer. Yeah. You know, I mean,
they're like 3 like, hours.
And, you know, I mean, Abby can testify where, you know, there would be like a 15-minute segment in almost every one of our tribal councils where we, you know, we all talked about her position in the tribe. And I can only imagine how difficult that was for her. And so I'm sure that was... She said it was
she
hard.
She said that was difficult.
Yeah. So, you know, it's...
Hey, Abby, you already had your 10 minutes.
Okay.
No way.
All right. All right. Thanks so much, John. Okay. Okay. All right. Who's coming out next? Okay. Yes. Who's this?
My name's Ivan.
Ivan.
Hello.
Okay, Ivan, how are you?
I'm doing well. I was so excited. I even created a fan Twitch game on the Patreon group a few weeks ago.
Oh, yes. You're playing along with the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Well, I wrote the questions and then some other
Are they better worded questions than the real Twitch? It's a low bar.
No.
It's a low bar.
I'll leave that up to you all to decide if you're on the Patreon group.
Ivan, what do you want to talk about?
Well, for the first time tonight, someone wearing this hat does have something for you.
Okay, yes.
So, I think the most under-the-radar possible winners left are probably Elaine, Janet, and Dean, because they've had some fun content, they have some positive content, but there's also been a lot of gaps in between their edit.
Okay.
So, assuming Rob and Sandra don't vote in the end for the jury, hopefully not.
Whoa, that would be such a twist! Holy shit! Oh my god, if Jeff Probst did that to us, and Sandra and Rob, each of their votes count for 10 points. What?
You would win?
Oh my god, who would win?
Would you win?
I'm not on the season!
You said if Jeff Probst did that to us and said that Rob and Sandra...
Oh my god, I would love that so much. Thank you for even bringing that idea.
All right, so anyway, it's... Elaine, Jen, and
Jury doesn't matter.
Okay, yes, please. Let Ivan ask his question.
So, Elaine, Janet, and Dean. Assuming 11-person jury, starting with Jack, ending with the fourth
Jack,
person
Jack, very
jury.
Important jury yeah. member.
11 votes. In your wildest brand steel dreams, like, what would you see that vote turning out like?
Boy, I know that math always plays great on the podcast.
If only Dean were here. He's a numbers guy.
Yeah, numbers guy. Yeah. Who is it? Elaine, Janet, and Dean?
Where does Sandra and Rob's 100 points each go?
Yeah, I would say I think that that Janet might have it just because there's more of the vocai on the jury, and then the couple of Lyra people seem anti-Elaine. Like
her son
like
Jack's
Missy.
On the jury?
Missy and Elizabeth.
Yeah, and Janet seems to have a lot of great, you know, everyone seems to love Janet.
So, yeah. So I'd say Janet.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it is Janet. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Okay. All right. Who do we have? Who do we have next back there? Yes. Hello. Hello. Who's this?
My name's Ethan.
Ethan.
Just a fun question for you guys. As Nora's sister described it perfectly as normal. I was wondering if you can give me your Mount Rushmore of the craziest, most unique, fun characters in Survivor history.
Oh, wow.
I think back on Philip with the headdress at Final Tribal, or as Stephen would know, Coach and the Token Chains fasting and, you know, meditating with his snake.
I feel like that Debbie, I think you have to put her on that Mount
I mean,
Rushmore.
Coach is number one, right? Coach is like, you know, he's Washington.
Yeah. I think if you were having the colorful character Mount Rushmore.
So these are more giant heads for sure.
Well, it's the season,
In like sort of like the in the upside down of where you learn like what not to do, maybe.
Maybe if you lose next season or a couple seasons, you go to the other head, giant heads where Debbie's waiting for.
I mean, Zane has got to be there.
Zane is on one episode.
I don't know.
Okay. Zane was one episode.
I think Nora is right there on the Mount Rushmore. I think she's
definitely
there
with
Debbie and Philip and Coach.
Yeah.
Put her on the Mount Rushmore. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
I like Zane.
Who doesn't like Zane? Okay. Yes.
I feel like we should
come
have
on
one
in.
By Hannah so they can take her microphone.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Ricardo. I'm from Brazil.
Yes.
And I want to ask Abby.
Here, come sit over here because they want to keep you in the shot.
I want to ask Abby.
Oh my God.
His wedding.
If oh she God. Feels that Karishma was similarly misunderstood.
Here, Abby, can you run up here and answer that question?
Did anyone else think he was going to propose?
Yes. Okay.
I'll give you Abby's phone number after this.
Sam, do we have another chair back there?
Come on, Sam. Another chair.
Okay. All right, hold on. Okay, hold.
Do I have to give him my microphone?
No. Yeah, I'll share with you. I'll share with you, Bradley.
Steven and I can share.
Okay. All right. Here, hey, Abby. Here, come back. Come back. Yes. Stand right here. Okay.
Can I go sit with Hannah?
Okay. Here.
Oh. Like the third wheel of this Brazilian relationship.
Woo.
Yes. Abby, did you feel like Karishma at all during your tribal councils?
So misunderstood.
No, I feel like we appropriately understood you, but we didn't like what we understood.
Whoa!
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, I'm going to...
It's okay, guys. I'm the joker.
Yeah.
I think you meant the joke.
No, come on. Hey. We didn't call Abby back up here to start picking on Abby Maria. No.
No, it's a good question. I mean, we were saying, I was just saying, there was always a segment in Tribal Council where, you sort of, it seemed like we're often, defending yourself.
I wish
against...
this had been a proposal. I'm really wishing it.
All right. Defending yourself against the tribe. I mean, you so often, it seemed like to me, as an outsider, that you were in that position and maybe felt similarly as an outsider.
Ostracized. Sure. Yeah.
But in the Philippines too, you had some tough tribal councils where then there were a bunch of people that were coming down hard on you, and there was conversations like is it cultural or is it I think it was Denise who said no it's that you weren't being nice, right?
It's cultural.
Yeah. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Well, what do you do?
Good answer.
What do you do though? What do you do if you're in that situation? If you're you feel like you're just not connecting, or you're fundamentally disconnected from your tribe. Like, having been there, what can you do to change that?
Learn a lesson. I don't know, guys. I really don't know. I think it's very difficult if you have an accent on Survivor.
Yeah. No, but you're being that you're not joking. It's a barrier to communicate as fluidly as some of the other players, right?
I think it's just easier to just pick on someone that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I completely agree with Abby having just played
and picked on people who are different.
It's all good. You just can't take it personal.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ricardo.
Thank you, Ricardo.
Okay. Woo! Hey, you can stay. You want to stay?
No.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Abby's good.
You know, Abby, if you got engaged, you could split rent. It's expensive in LA.
All right. Come on, Ricardo. We have a couple more quick questions.
You should sit by Hannah. Take your chair over there.
All right. Real quick.
All right, my name's Kevin. I'm a huge fan of you guys. If and when one day I'm on season 41, I'm going to take your teachings out there onto the island. But
I just wanted to say, it might be too late if you're not.
I just wanted to say I had a question about this episode in this season, but I thought it was too boring. So I'm going to go with a different question. In this question, let's assume that Token Teens happened before All-Stars. Put that out
the
there.
First All-Stars.
The first All-Stars.
Okay.
So if you were on All-Stars
right.
instead of Second Chance,
okay.
and you were on Second Chance instead of All-Stars, and I'll open this up to the whole panel.
No.
Do you think that... Rob, do you think you would have done better than Steven? And Steven, do you think you would have done better than Rob?
Wait, does Rob have a podcast when he's like...
It's you guys have the same things,
no,
except
Steven
for the fact
has
that...
a podcast. Oh, it's wow. an app.
Finally, Fish has a podcast.
It's we're
Fap.
Living in
it's
an alternate Shap. Universe. A lot is different
Shap,
in this
my
question.
My favorite podcast.
Sahab.
No, but instead of going out to All-Stars, Rob was snubbed on coming back until years later when he got back on Second Chance. And let's.
I think he'd do better because I don't remember what he did on Survivor.
Who? Which he? I would say that we would do equally well.
Yeah, it would be easier for Steven to do better than I did than for me to do better than Steven did the second time around.
Just statistically.
Yes, yes. Mathematically.
Rob, would you have aligned yourself with Jeremy like he did?
I mean, Jeremy's a great guy. Yeah. Okay, all right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. All right, how many more people? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. We gotta go quick, okay? All right. Real quick.
I didn't hear it get talked about at all tonight. Do you think that Dean's strategy at all had to do with the fact that in his mind he still thinks he has an idol at six and all he has to do is last two
more rounds?
He has to do in his mind is last two more rounds where he can throw anyone under the bus right now as long as it gets him two more rounds and he can play his idol, make it to five, hopefully last one more vote, make it to fire, and something crazy
I think
can happen.
I think that's a good point.
That's a really great point.
It's a good point. Was there anything else?
You guys had mentioned why you didn't know why they would take Janet on the family reward, but she won the challenge, so she was going either way.
Yeah, that's why they took her. Wow, you've really embarrassed us.
Then Lauren was the last person they took. That was the mistake.
When you were talking about it, I heard a lot of the crowd kind of rustling.
Yeah, rustling.
I think it was on a lot of people's minds.
I apologize. I stand by what I said, but then Lauren was the wrong person to take.
Yeah. Lauren would have been the wrong person.
Vote him out now, right?
Okay. All right. Okay, you're the knowingest know-it-all. We're stupid. Okay, all right.
But
thank you. Yes,
but that's valid about Dean, right?
Yeah, we said you got
this
it.
This guy's paying attention.
Okay, now you're fishing for more compliments. We already said it was a good point. Okay, all right. Thank you so much. Okay, all right. Real quick. We're running out of time.
All right, real quick. So I don't have a question. I just have more of a comment. I thought that it was really interesting how in the loved ones visit, we saw Janet's husband say that. She's a really big advocate for women, and he had no idea what even had gone on in the show. So I thought it was interesting that they put that in the edit and that they showed us that.
Yeah.
I mean,
great comment.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad that I could bring that up.
Yeah. It was a great moment. It was a really nice moment.
Yeah. I know we're pressed for time here, so.
Yes.
Yeah. I am a huge fangirl.
No, I'm sure how she
No,
I'm sure how she behaved out there is a testament to how she behaves in life.
Exactly.
She
seems that shows who she is and like who her character is. So I thought that was really huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, what was your name?
Ashley.
Ashley, thank you so much. Okay. All right. Who else is behind the curtain? Okay. What? Yes.
He's got a prop.
Really fast. Oh, yes, I do.
This is who I spoiled the episode to.
You also spoiled the episode to me.
Okay.
Dark question.
Running out of time. Okay.
Dark question. He who will not be named, will he be at the finale? Possibly, you know, final three.
You're
I said okay. Dark question.
Yeah. It seems like it.
Really? Okay. You think you'll be there?
Yes. Yeah, so okay. We can talk more about this after the show.
Okay. Abby, this is for you. My fiance and I would like to invite you to our wedding in Hawaii.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Where is it?
What?
Where's the wedding?
Yeah. Where?
Oh, a destination wedding.
Abby, you're going to Hawaii. You'll notice, Hannah, we didn't get invited.
Yes, okay. And last question.
Please invite me.
I'm getting a hug out there. Yes.
Hard to follow that. I'm David.
Hi, David.
Where are you inviting us to, David?
I'm already married, so unless my wife knows something I don't, I got nothing. I don't know if you pay attention to the commercials on Survivor, but tonight and the last couple of weeks, there has been a Pillsbury commercial where there literally is a busted can of biscuits that they feature. So I don't know if CBS is trolling us. Yes. And I also don't know if Pillsbury is missing a great opportunity to have Elaine as their new spokesperson.
Do you think, Stephen, that some ad executive at Pillsbury is a big Survivor fan and they hear Elaine say, "I'm just a busted can of biscuits," that they said, "Oh, this is it. Put our money on CBS at Wednesday night at 8. That woman is literally a busted can of biscuits.
Yeah, probably. That's how it works.
Good, great call. Okay.
All right, thanks.
Another great moment was Elaine's like a redneck pocket. That was very funny too.
Yeah, right here. Yes, the real last question. Yes.
The real. Thanks for hearing me out. I have a very simple question.
Yes, and who are you?
I'm Emily. Hi.
Emily!
Yes, exactly. That's me. Why did Nora have to ask Karishma what the idol looked like when she had already found one in her bag?
She's Nora. You could assign logic to Nora questions, right?
Do you think that Nora's technique for saying the color of the idol, how did that compare to Christian's
reticular
technique?
Activating system.
How did that compare to Christian's, what was it, like breadth first?
Breadth first search.
Which was a better idol finding strategy?
Probably Nora's, right?
That seemed to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I've asked somebody who's found an idol, but I don't know. all right, Emily. Thank you so much. Okay. All right. We're going back there. Okay. All right. This was a really fun show. First of all, tonight. Thank you guys for coming out tonight. Thanks to everybody at the Brea Improv for having us here tonight. We are going to be moving to our second location after tonight. What's it called? McAllen's. It's about about 3 minute walk. Hopefully the rain has stopped. We'll be able to get over there. We have that place until 2, I believe.
Woo!
McAllen's Public House nearby. Let's thank our panel, not just Hannah and Bradley. Yes. All the survivors. Yes.
Come back up to be thanked.
PG, Max Dawson, Abby Maria, Nick Majorano, Tyler Fredrickson. Don't call him Tucker.
Which camera should we look at, guys?
Yes.
Which one?
Yes, oh wow. It's like we're at a concert. We're taking the picture right now.
Oh my God, look, Tyler, you're on fire with all the cameras.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to still podcast because the people that are listening to this aren't going to get this. But this got really surreal that every 200 phones came out.
Let's also all give it up while we take pictures for Rob Cesternino.
Yeah, thank you.
Who brings this all together, has created this podcast, put so much work into every one of these.
Come on.
The rest of us just waltz in here at the last minute. Rob is stressing out, weeks in advance. Thank you so much, Rob.
Thank you so much, Stephen. This was very fun. This is not the last fun that we're going to have here on the West Coast. We have some fun planned for season 40 for you guys also here on the West Coast. So stay tuned for more announcements on that. Of course, the best place to get that kind of news is probably in our patron Facebook group. If you head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron, a ton of great information coming your way about all that. And of course, so many familiar faces from our patron community there. robhasawebsite.com/patron. We have a great show. PG and I will have a nice chat tomorrow in person. Looking forward to that. And of course, the purple pants badass himself, Bryce Isaiah, is going to be our guest on the feedback show. So be on the lookout for that. And then this week in Survivor History as well. So thank you all for coming out so much. Steven, anything else?
No, it was great. You did a great job.
Anybody else? Anything? Have a great night. Drive safe, everybody, please.
Thanks for coming.
Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Good night.
Good job, Sam.